The meeting is reconvened and called to order. Thank you all for your patience. I'm sorry that we ran a little bit long this morning. But as a result, I will make an effort to keep my comments brief this morning. We have two innovative items on our agenda for board approval today: a new double degree MBA program with an international partner university in France, as well as board approval of a ground lease that will provide the foundation of a public-private partnership to construct up to 1,000 new single rooms and clustered residence hall neighborhoods for first-year students at NIU. Several of my colleagues on this board toured existing university residence halls in March and encouraged President Peters and NIU senior administrators to develop plans to replace and renovate our existing on-campus housing for NIU students while keeping with our historic capacity standard of 6,000 on-campus beds. Today we will approve a ground lease for a new campus housing neighborhood to be opened by August 2012. The third item on our agenda today, FY 2010 short-term borrowing authorization, gives me great concern. Frankly, my colleagues on this board and I are disheartened by the state's inability and unwillingness to honor its financial obligations to its public universities, state agencies, and human service providers. As of today, the state of Illinois owes NIU over $39 million. Funds they're legally obligated to pay and have not paid. I'll withhold further comments on this issue until President Peters brings this item forward during his report. And now I'd like to welcome University Advisory Committee representatives who may be present this morning: Dr. Alan Rosenbaum, Dr. Farrell Bryant, Dr. Gregory Waz, Dr. Joseph Buck Stevens, Mr. Todd Latham, and Mr. Jay Montero. I don't see Dr. Rosenbaum, but are there any other faculty members? All right, is Mr. Latham in the audience? Yes, do you have anything to add? Please, you were able to join us this morning, and congratulations. Mr. Montero, anything you'd like to add? Thank you. At this point in our agenda, the chair may recognize members of the public who have complied with state law and Board of Trustees bylaws by registering their written request to address the board with our parliamentarian. Mr. Davidson, have you received any timely request to address this meeting?
Mr. Chair, I've received no timely requests.
In that case, President Peters, would you please present your report?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman and board members, and welcome everyone. First of all, I want to thank you, board members, for your strong support and commitment to NIU. This is your second special board meeting we've had to schedule in as many months. And it goes without saying that your willingness to rearrange your professional and personal lives to attend the urgent business of the university is greatly appreciated. So on behalf of the NIU students, faculty, and staff, I want to thank you for your presence here this morning as we tackle several timely and important decisions that will have lasting impact on the university for years to come. So it's in that spirit today that I bring four items to the board for your consideration and approval. Item 7A is a program fee request for the College of Business's new and innovative and exciting one-year fast-track double degree MBA program with an international partner, that's Bordeaux University. Offered in DeKalb, it is unique in the current MBA marketplace in that it offers a double degree, an MBA from NIU, and a master's in international management from the University of Bordeaux, as well as extensive business integrated experiences for students through corporate insights and a business consulting project. It is also designed as a high-touch, high-service program to compete with higher-priced regional Chicago area programs. This new program will open a previously untapped market to NIU and will positively enhance the College of Business's MBA reputation and rankings. The College of Business is requesting, therefore, a maximum per credit hour fee not to exceed the credit hour cost of in-state graduate tuition, which is currently set at $300 a credit hour for fiscal year 11. For this new fast-track double degree MBA program, and we want that effective the fall of 2010. These fees are necessary to finalize development and support for this new MBA delivery format. Board approval is also requested to waive the tuition and fee charge cap, which is currently set at 12 hours per semester, for hours taken under this program only, so that tuition and fees for the Fast Track Double Degree program will be assessed for the total credit hours of enrollment. I know Dean Schembechler is here, and it comes with the strong approval of Provost Alden. I ask your approval of President's Report Item 7A.
Can I have a motion to that effect?
I'll move one question, Chair. Do we need to send someone over to France to check out the existence of the university?
The line forms over on the left. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion.
I just want to say, sorry that I jumped right in. I just want to commend the College of Business for this creative and exciting program for our students. I think it just sounds wonderful. I'd love to sign up for it myself, to be honest with you.
I think you can, Barb.
I just think it's wonderful.
It falls right in line with the Denise that I know. What is a wonderful thing to do, Denise? Where are you?
I'm here.
Stand up so we can.
Yeah, so that we can see you. This is very much in line with the way I always visualize your thinking. Congratulations.
Any other discussion?
Well, I just have a question. This just establishes the fee. Will we talk at some other point about the establishment of the degree, or is that something that?
Provost Alden.
This is basically the PMBA Fast Track program coupled with a program in France. So it's not a substantive change to our program, but the partnership provides within a course of a year access to 2 degrees. So we're not changing our curriculum. It's basically our professional MBA program. And it is brought on campus. One of the things that I had discussed with Denise was the fact that having this international community of students, both our students interested in international experiences in France and some of their students coming over to participate, should be on campus and provide that kind of international perspective and culture to the campus community. So So I guess the long-winded answer is your academic program has not changed. The venue and the coupling partnership is what has changed.
Okay. I was curious whether or not we would have an opportunity to learn a little bit more about this, but I'll just follow up with the dean and the provost. But also I'd like to say congratulations and thank you for your work.
If there are no other comments, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Well, thank you, and good luck to you, Dean Schembechler, on that great program. The second item for board approval today is item 7B. It's an exciting new thrust. This is a ground lease agreement for a new first-year residence hall cluster complex. At the April 29th, 2010 board meeting, the board approved the solicitation and evaluation of proposals from private developers to build a new first-year residence hall cluster complex not to exceed 1,000 beds, including a dining facility. The university received 9 proposals in response to our IFP, and these proposals were sent to our internal selection committee led by Jeff Dower, who's in the audience. After reviewing written proposals and conducting hours of face-to-face meetings with several of the developer architectural firms, Collegiate Housing Foundation, a not-for-profit organization, was identified as the best entity suited to support the financing and oversight of the project by entering into a long-term ground lease with the university and entering into a development agreement with a developer for the project, the latter subject to board approval at the September board meeting. So today we're about the ground lease only. It is currently contemplated that American Campus Communities would act as the developer of this project. Today's action by the board will permit the university to enter into a long-term ground lease with Collegiate Housing Foundation on either one or both of 2 on-campus identified sites for the development of the first-year residence hall project and authorize the president and the treasurer to negotiate the terms of and to execute the ground lease and ancillary documents and instruments necessary to complete this lease. As we've discussed previously with this board, today's item represents the first part of an exciting and still under development comprehensive replacement and complete renovation plan for our on-campus university residence halls. Now you see the two easels to my right contain possible, they're pictures, architectural renderings of what such a concept would look like. All accommodations in this new complex would be single rooms with a private bath or two single rooms sharing a private bath, reflecting the greater level of independence and privacy preferred by today's students. The overall setting, however, will retain the most desirable features of on-campus housing, including convenient security, community and peer support, strong ties to the university, and availability of food service. The building in this new clustered housing complex will be built using the same sort of partnership that allowed NIU to build Northern View Apartments in 2007, and we learned a great deal in that project. Under that arrangement, a private company assumed the cost of construction with the actual facilities managed by the university. At the end of a predetermined period of time, the university will take ownership of the facilities. So this is an affordable way for us to address what has developed into one of the greatest needs on our campus. As part of the university's comprehensive plan to replace and or renovate existing residence halls, we will continue to maintain our historic on-campus housing capacity at 6,000 beds. Therefore, I ask the board's approval of item 7B, a long-term ground lease with Collegiate Housing Foundation.
Can I have a motion to that effect?
I'll move.
Second. Discussion.
It's been a long time coming.
Chair, I'd just like to say I'd like to commend our Vice President Eddie Williams and his staff for coming up with this creative plan. You know, in these dire economic circumstances, this is a plan that hopefully will not impact our financial situation very negatively at all, and it's very creative. It's not something that everybody does all the time, but they've always been creative about a lot of things. And I commend them for this, and we know we need this. We need this to be competitive. We need this because it's good for our students. It's a better learning environment, and it's a better home situation or housing situation. So I commend you, Dr. Williams, and your staff for all your hard work. Thank you.
Trustee Hennis.
In addition to all the stuff that's already been said, I know this is something that students already, from a little bit they've heard about it, are definitely excited about. It does it address a pressing need on our campus, and I kind of just wish I'd come here just a couple years later, in fact. So.
If there's no other, yes, Trustee
Butler. Just I want to point out, that just state for the record, that the board has been graciously provided not only tours of the current housing stock, but also a number of outcomes of studies and research done by the staff. I want to particularly thank Vice President Brian Hemphill and also Dr. Williams for the time that they put into this and the amount of information that they've provided. It's really been just an outstanding project and an excellent bottom-up process as well, in the sense that they had the students involved from the earliest point. So it's a great project, and I'm proud to support it.
All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
That'll permit us to move to the next proper stages of this long process, and there'll be a lot of input for the board and decisions to come in September. The third item on today's agenda causes me great discomfort to bring to the board today. I am on record for the last 6 months and even longer as citing the unfortunate outcome of the state's inability to pay its agencies and providers what it legally owes them. My opinion on this issue has not changed one iota over these months. The state needs to honor its legal and financial financial commitments to its citizens, whether it be students, faculty, and staff, and its respected public universities, or its human service providers trying to serve people in need, or its employees overall who try to access illegal employee benefits such as health insurance and are turned away and told to pay up front because of the state's deadbeat payment status. So as of today, 7 days before the close of the fiscal year, the state owes NIU over $39 million. In addition, the General Assembly left town without even determining how to balance a budget for fiscal 2011, provide a sufficient revenue to fund the state's legal and financial obligations for fiscal 11, or even set a mechanism in place to borrow funds to pay the state's pension contributions of almost $4 billion in fiscal 11. The height of irresponsibility and NIU and our sister public universities, human service providers, citizens, and state employees are left to cope with the devastation caused by the state's not paying its bills. Today's item 7C, authorization for short-term borrowing, has been forced upon us because of circumstances I mentioned above that are far beyond anyone's control here at NIU. I bring this item to the board for approval today as an emergency measure and a last resort, a mechanism that if we are forced to execute at some future time this year, will allow NIU to maintain operational status, permitting our students to continue their academic studies uninterrupted should the university be faced with imminent closure due to the state's delinquency in payments. So, pursuant to the rules contained in the recently passed statute, the current limit on principal amounts borrowed for NIU under this one-time emergency authorization would be just under $29.5 million. If we are going to continue to provide ourselves with options to deal with future contingencies, the board must approve the resolution before you today, as the treasurer must establish any line of credit or equivalent instrument within 90 days after the legislation's effective date, which was June 8, 2010. Whether the university is ever required to draw down on any such line of credit under this authority remains to be seen. Prudence dictates that we do not preclude any option, no matter how discomforting, as we prepare to tackle the uncertain financial future of the state's non-payment of its obligations. So I ask your approval, reluctantly, of item 7C, authorization for 2010 short-term borrowing.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion.
Yeah, I want to join in with what the chair and our president has already said. It's more than discomfort that I feel that we're placed in this position, and how the legislators, Senate and reps, can leave Springfield without addressing this critical issue, frankly, is shameful. And I think it's just very, very unfortunate that we and every other higher education board is faced with this economic crisis, and obviously this is the prudent thing to do. I'm just embarrassed that we're put in this position where we have no alternative.
Other comments?
Trustee Vella. It's my understanding that at this point, just requesting the line of credit will not cost us any money. Is that what you said, Dr. Williams? Just having this line of credit in place. Right. You know, we're very unhappy that we have to do this, and there are other parts of this legislation that are troublesome, which is if we do borrow the money, we have to pay it back within a year. And this is operating expenses, so we would only do this in a very dire emergency type situation, and it would not be something that we would contemplate doing today. That at least that we can say, but we have to have that available to us given the situation. Thank you.
Trustee Boy.
Thank you, Chair. I find it, of course, we have all said the same thing. We're doing this because Springfield has abdicated their responsibility. And yet, moral obligation on our part dictates that we need to have a fail-safe step so that we don't shut off operations on campus and close all the classrooms. It is sad to have to look at it that way, but at the same time, I take pride in the fact that we don't anticipate that we need any immediate cash flow needs from this borrowing situation, at least not immediate, as compared to perhaps some other universities may. And that reflects on the president and staff in terms of preparing their usual fiscal responsibility. So I too accept this and vote for this only reluctantly because that's the only prudent thing to do. Thank you.
Any other comments? I'd just like to add one thing personally. Today, our vote is on a proposition that would establish a two-step process. So we can take a look at making available this as an option. Whether or not we ultimately determine to borrow the money is another question, and we're deferring that to a later day. It's only on that basis that I feel comfortable voting for the resolution, because operating the finances of the university differently than I would operate the finances of my household doesn't sit well. And being put in a position where you're asked to borrow operating money without having a means of repayment is not something that anybody ought to enter into lightly. So I hope that the governor and the legislature will find a way to be able to resolve this question before the ultimate question for us is called, and we have to determine whether or not it makes sense to draw on a line of credit that we'll establish. Only the future will tell what happens in that regard. But let us all work to see whether we have the ability to be able to influence the legislature and the governor to avoid us having to make that decision. So if there are no other comments, all those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion carries.
Well, I guess thank you. We will move forward. But it's always good to end the meeting on a positive, an uplifting note, I hope, and try to solve some problems and recognize people have done a good job at the university. And item 7D, I think, will accomplish that. First of all, you all know that Dr. Steve Cunningham, well, he's a doctor now, and actually has one, at least two girls who may be real doctors. He's admirably and capably served NIU for over a long time. And what you may not know is that my predecessor, John LaTourette, recruited Steve from the old Board of Regents staff to develop and run our human resource function at NIU. And as you all know, he's done a tremendous job with that, both in terms of diversity and routinization and keeping changes with all personnel. Plus, he is known in the state and is the go-to person on pension expertise for CSRS pension. We appreciate that. Now, simultaneously, a set of needs have arisen at the university, all public universities, over the past decade, whether they be in Illinois or Ohio, and that is the increasingly complex regulatory and compliance environment at the federal and state level. We've just had an explosion of the needs to document procedures, take care of records, to ensure that we are in full compliance with the myriad of rules that have been promulgated at the federal and state level. And many universities have had the foresight to bring these together in one function and even create whole new units when we obviously don't have the resources to do that. However, I do think we have the people and the creativity and a leader in the name of Steve Cunningham who might be able to bring some cohesion to that. Therefore, in addition to his day job in human resources and the processing side of procurement and all of those other things he does, we want to create a function called compliance. And the elements of that function, which will directly report to me, and Steve will sit on the president's cabinet, because I think if you're going to do this compliance work, you have to be there with the senior administrators, would contain these functions. One is on talking with our general counsel, Ken Davidson. We will move the state officials and employees Ethics Act requirement that we have an ethics officer, a compliance officer. We will move that function to Steve, so he'll be the ethics officer. Also under recent legislation, which has drastically changes our contract compliance and the way we do things, Steve will serve as our chief procurement officer and sit on the Higher Education Procurement Council. Come January, we are going to have a retirement in risk management, and that function in January, risk management, will move to compliance under Steve. We also have a need to establish a university records administration to comply with the new State Records Act, and this is extremely complex and time-consuming. We have to maintain compliance, for instance, on programs including record retention policies and inventory, security guidelines, e-discovery protocols, FOIA records recovery protocols, development of electronic records and storage retrieval systems, archival policies. It goes on and on. And so we want to bring some cohesion to that function. Even though we are in complete Title IX compliance, and a lot of that has to do with athletics, we have had no specific Title IX officer, and now we are going to have one to supervise Title IX compliance functions. And in addition to that, of course, we have ADA compliance, and we will need that as well. So in recognition, both in recognition of Steve's service and merit and what he's done, plus this new need, I am recommending to the board that we create a function called Vice President for Human Resources and Compliance, and the first tenant of that function will be Steve Cunningham. And I'd like to say we're doing this the NIU way, and this is unfortunate. So many of us have had to take on, so many of you have had to take on functions without due regard to resources. And unfortunately, this vice presidency is a dry promotion. At this time, it carries, that's the bad news, Steve. Good news. It carries no additional remuneration at this time, and this is a sorry state of affairs because of the budget situation we find ourselves in. So I move this forward for your approval.
Can I have a motion, please?
I'll move.
Second? Discussion? Trustee Sanchez.
Yes, I've now learned a new phrase to implement in my own law firm, dry promotion.
Very dry.
A euphemism, all right. So, but no, truly, congratulations, because you were doubling your responsibility, Steve. And I know it seems like a Pyrrhic victory in terms of just giving you the title, but as you just heard expressed with regard to our financial situation on the last matter, we're in dire situation, and appreciate your willingness to take on the additional responsibilities, albeit without additional compensation.
Trustee Boy.
Thank you, Chair. I've certainly known Steve for way over 10 years, let's put it that way, on the Board of Trustees, and I certainly have complete respect for the quality of his work and decision. So I'm certainly delighted that he's got this promotion and well-deserved. Thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Congratulations.
Congratulations. It won't be completely dry. I'll buy you a drink tonight. That completes my report.
Thank you, President Peters. Let's turn our attention now to the review and approval of minutes of the April 29th, 2010 special meeting. Can I have a motion to approve? Second? Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That motion carries. I don't believe there are any other additional items today, are there? If not, our next regular full board meeting is scheduled for Thursday, September 16th, 2010, on the main campus in DeKalb. May I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned.